I will glory in my infirmities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A Chinese girl of 10 years old met with a missionary and entreated him to give her confirmation. And the priest asked her, "And if the Mandarin puts you into prison for your faith, what will you say?" And the girl answered, "I will say, I am a Christian. And if he bids you renounce your faith, what will you do?" And the girl answered, "I will say, never. And if he brings the executioners to cut off your head, what will you say?" And the girl answered, "Cut it off." Delighted at seeing the child so firm and resolute, the missionary acceded to her wishes in spite of her tender age, and shortly she was confirmed. When the hand of God is laid upon us, when we have to bear heavy crosses, when we have to deal with many and heavy problems, the first thing we are likely to do is to complain and to wonder why we are so much afflicted. Why? If we are in poverty, we look with a jealous eye on the rich and forget the words of our Lord, who said, "How hardly shall the rich man enter the kingdom of heaven." God smites us with disease, with sicknesses, cancer and so forth, and instead of bearing it with patience and resignation, we murmur and are very impatient of the restraint which it brings upon us, when indeed the very sickness may be God's own chosen means of helping us to save our souls. That the Lord does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, Sacred Scripture says. And we all know this. That he brings sorrow, suffering upon us, we know. And that it is for our own good, we know also. He is not an angry God sitting on his throne, in judgment to punish us. Sickness, loss of money, loss of friends, loss of our own good name, and of all that is near and dear to us, is no sign at all that God dislikes us or is in any way angry with us. Sacred Scripture tells us, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And St. Paul, if you did listen to today's epistle, appreciated this so much that he could say, "I glory in nothing but in my infirmities." And then he went on to describe his chastisements, his tribulations, his crosses, from the day he had been a Christian up to the time of his writing. And in spite of all this, in spite of his hardships, of all the base ingratitude with which he had been treated, in spite of perpetual bodily pain, in spite of the temptations of Satan himself, he would glory in his infirmity. And he knew that out of proper submission of spirit to all this, to the resignation of the will of God, a man's soul is elevated to God. Merits are gained, and greater glory to God is given. And we, how do we act today in similar circumstances? Which one of us has the strong faith and the fortitude, which is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, which you receive at confirmation, to rejoice or even to resign yourself in the will of God when God tries us? If we look in the life of the saints, we see that the saints have praised God for all afflictions he has put on them. And we are all called to be saints. And what we have done, what have we done? We have complained, and sometimes perhaps we have become angry at God because we think he gave us a too heavy cross to bear. And we say to ourselves, this time this cross is truly too heavy. We have doubted perhaps the goodness of God. We have not said with Job, the patriarch, shall I receive good at the hands of the Lord and not receive evil also? Our duty in this regard is plain, and so plain that St. Paul says, if you do well and suffer for it, this is acceptable with God. For this renders us like to him, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us, the just for the unjust. And St. Francis of Assisi says that perfect joy consisted in being despised and ill-treated by men of the world. But in order that we bear the crosses, the difficulties which God puts on our shoulders from time to time, that we bear those crosses with holy resignation, we need the gift of fortitude. We need this gift of fortitude to do in every moment, from minute to minute, that we do the will of God. The gift of fortitude consists in an extraordinary strength of will, whereby we are enabled in every situation of life to carry out that which is pleasing to God and necessary or expedient for our salvation. For example, this fortitude enables you, without any difficulty, to confess in the world your faith. If you have a great intensity of this gift of fortitude, you confess your faith in public if necessary. You confess your faith in good morals if necessary, and you do so with great ease, with no difficulties to overcome. You just do it because of this great gift of the Holy Ghost of fortitude. And this fortitude manifests itself particularly in temptations to sin, in temptations which are frequently very violent, and those temptations resemble storms which root up the strongest trees. And it is the Holy Ghost that comes to our help and gives us strength to overcome the enemies of our salvation. Sacred Scripture, for example, narrates the story of the chase to Sana, if you can remember, and of Joseph of Egypt. And both underwent great temptations. Both were placed in circumstances in which they must either sin or lose their honor or liberty or perhaps their life. How similar to our situation. But both resisted the temptations and preferred to die rather than commit a foul deed. It was the Holy Ghost whom they implored in their necessity that imparted to them the necessary strength. And we need this gift of fortitude, particularly in sufferings, which frequently become so heavy that the Christian needs extraordinary strength of mind to enable him to bear them patiently. This fortitude shone forth particularly in the holy martyrs. The executioners tried every means to make them renounce their faith. They threatened them with the most cruel tortures. They cast the servants of God into awful prisons and delivered them up the most painful death. But they did not renounce their faith or good morals. They did not renounce it. These Christians lived and died for Christ. And other saints also exhibited wonderful fortitude in suffering. For example, Saint Teresa, who during a sickness of 40 years, which frequently caused her to intolerable pain, used to say in prayer, "Lord, either to suffer or to die." And they all did this because of this great gift of the Holy Ghost of fortitude. And fortitude manifests in itself in cases, in circumstances where God demands of us a great sacrifice. Such a sacrifice could be, and as you know, to stand up, for example, for the innocence of the children, to stand up for truth and justice, And if you have this fortitude, it means nothing to you to say the truth. You just do it. And you do it with great, great ease. And so did Saint Francis Xavier. As he himself says, at first trembled with fear when he was ordered to preach the faith to the cannibals. But the Holy Ghost strengthened him with the gift of fortitude. He courageously went and by his preaching, an example, transformed the bloodthirsty savages into lambs of Christ. The Holy Ghost gave also us and will also give us the gift of fortitude if we pray for it with great, great favor. Have recourse to Him, to the Holy Ghost, which is also called the forgotten God. Have recourse to Him. Then, in temptations, in sufferings, and in all situations in which great sacrifice are required of us, He will help us. He will give us strength. And pray to Him with confidence, that He may strengthen our weakness and assist us in doing in every single moment the will of God, in doing what is just and right, so that we can say with St. Paul, I glory in nothing but in my infirmities. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.